And you know, I was just thinking when we were singing, it was good singing that we had tonight, and I appreciate it so much. And you know, I was just thinking of some of the songs, the deep words that we were singing tonight. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have a Savior to sing about like this? But let's look at the 34th verse of the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of me?" Now he's referring to this last thing that we had this morning about Pilate saying in that 33rd verse, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews?" Now it looks like the Lord Jesus Christ is really responding. Before, it wasn't much response from him from all the accusation and everything that was said, except the time when the servant of the high priest, the soldier, smote him on the face. And he asked him why he smote him on the face. And of course, he didn't like what the Lord Jesus Christ had said to the high priest. But you know, other than that, the Lord didn't say much. As we mentioned, Herod wanted to hear him speak, but he never heard a word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he arrayed him in a glorious robe, and that robe which even they gambled for, I believe. I don't believe it was his own garments that they gambled for, and of course I know I'm going off the track a little bit in my message, but I think if you search out the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ was not wealthy. He said in one place, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have a nest, but nowhere has the Son of Man to lay his head." And so his garment probably wasn't worth a lot. But the garment that he was given by the king when he made fun of the Lord Jesus Christ was a kingly robe. And that's why they didn't want that garment cut in pieces or torn. They wanted it whole, and that's why they took and gambled for it at the cross of Calvary. But you know, before the cross, we get the trial, and Pilate here asking the Lord Jesus Christ, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And right away, the Lord Jesus Christ puts him on the spot. "Did you say this? Is this from you? Or did you hear I was King of the Jews? Are you saying I'm the King of the Jews?" Now, the Lord knew he didn't say he was King of the Jews. But he was putting Pilate right on the spot. And the spot was, if Pilate would have said, "Yes, I believe you're the King of the Jews," he would have been in trouble with two people, Herod and Caesar. You see? The Lord put him on the spot. "Did you say this, Pilate? Are you saying I'm the King of the Jews? Or did somebody else say this?" And right away, Pilate realizes he's on trial. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's supposed to be asked the questions, not Pilate. But he's the one that's really on trial here. It's not Christ. The world was on trial, not the Son of God. And notice what he says. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" And he didn't want to be associated with the Jews. Now, he was of the Roman government. He was the power of Rome that was dispensing judgment in this area of Jerusalem. Now, notice what he says. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" I'm not any part of the Jews. Don't bring this up to me. Don't try to say that I said you're the King of the Jews, is really what he's saying. I don't want to get in trouble with Herod. I don't want to get in trouble with Caesar. Remember when they called out, "We have no king but Caesar." Many times in our plays that we give at Easter time, we have the choir sing out, "Caesar, Caesar, we have no king but Caesar." But you know, as you look at this portion of God's word right here, you notice what the Lord Jesus Christ answered him? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom, but now is my kingdom not from him." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Now notice the answer. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, beloved, this is a very, very deep verse. And I hope I can do this verse justice, what it really brings out. For if we can get this verse, it has even the key of eternal life in it. For notice what he says. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" He's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, "Are you a king?" And the Lord Jesus Christ simply brings forth to him. Notice the words. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Now, Pilate, you said I'm a king. And then he goes on, to this end was I born. Beloved, we have just remembered the 24th of December and the 25th, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. To this end was I born. Remember my Christmas message. I pointed out that the wise men, when they came with their gifts, they did not come to the manger. They came to the house probably a year and a half after the Lord Jesus Christ was born. They were directed by the star. The shepherds were never directed by the star. They were directed by the angel. A babe lying in a manger with swaddling clothes. They never had a star to follow. But the wise men had a star to follow from the east. Those that even came from Babylon or Persia, whichever area we want to consider, it's one and the same, really. But anyway, Babylon covered all that area, and then Persia took it over later on. And so they came, no doubt, from that area to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. That's why I came into the world. Beloved, why did you come into the world? Can any of you give me an answer why you came into the world? You don't know why you came into the world. You were born. You had no choice. The Lord Jesus Christ had a choice. He didn't have to come into the world. He was God. But as it says in Philippians 2, he laid aside his glory. He laid aside all that he had, and he chose to be born of a virgin. We went over the necessity of the virgin birth. You had to be born of a virgin. No help of man whatsoever. It had to be of God, or he would have been a sinner like the rest of us. He was born of a woman, not of man. God's Son was given. And in a few moments, we'll look at a scripture that is amazing, even in the book of Acts, where it brings out about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice what it says here? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. But, beloved, what kind of a world was it? It was a dark world. He came into the world to bring light. John the Baptist was born before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the greatest preacher, for he had the greatest message. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The light was put on in the world by John, telling the world that there was hope, but the world was a dark place. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, to the 22nd chapter. And you all know this verse here, and you're not ignorant of the scripture, and I know it, but let's just remind our heart of the 22nd chapter of Luke again. And the 53rd verse, it says, and this is about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was betrayed even of Judas. It says, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now, beloved, just before he was in the judgment seat with Pilate, before the hour that he's answering these questions, he was taken there as Judas came with the swords and the lances and the army to take him. And they all fell backwards. And he says, whom do you seek? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, well, I'm here. He says, when I was with you in the temple daily, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour. It's a different hour now. Beloved, in the lesson tonight, you're going to see over and over again, it's God's appointed time. God had a certain set way that the Lord Jesus Christ should be crucified. He couldn't be stoned to death. He must be lifted between heaven and earth because, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up, as I mentioned this morning. He has to be lifted. And the Jews couldn't stone him because his appointed way of death was crucifixion. Going back to the book of Deuteronomy, let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy for a moment, the 21st chapter, and again we notice that the scriptures are fulfilled in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the 21st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, to me, is a wonderful verse, in the 23rd verse. It talks about the crucifixion. But it brings that out about the punishment of a death, if a man be worthy of a certain death. Now notice the 22nd verse. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is cursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, beloved, this is an important verse. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ was taken down quickly from the cross and buried was that they didn't want the land cursed. Even in our chapter, we notice that some did not come into the judgment hall, but they stayed outside because they didn't want to defile themselves. Turn the tape over, please. Thank you. You notice in the 28th verse, keep your finger there in Deuteronomy for a moment, and go to the 18th chapter of John, and notice what it says in the 28th verse. It says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not in to the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Those bunch of hypocrites. They were hypocrites. Here they wanted to eat the Passover lamb the next day. When the Lord Jesus Christ is being crucified, beloved, they were slaying the Passover lamb. He was crucified at the Passover. But these hypocrites, they wanted to remember the ordinance of the Jewish religion that the Passover lamb would be given and they wanted to be cleansed. How hypocritical. Here they're putting a man to death. They have his blood on their hands. But they stand outside the judgment hall because if they would have gone in the judgment, they couldn't eat in the Passover. In other words, it would be the same thing if you would say, well, I don't want to be at that trial. I'll go down. I know the man needs to be put to death. But you want to take communion on Sunday, and so you say, I'm going to stay outside the courtroom so I won't be defiled by the judgment. So I can eat the Lord's Supper on Sunday. You see what a hypocritical thing it was? Beloved, it was a pitiful thing. How far they are from God. Now, the crucifixion was that, as we saw in Deuteronomy, his body shall not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. They had to do it that day. That's why, when they came to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, they broke the one thief's leg, and they went to the other thief, and they broke his leg. But when they came to Jesus, the scripture says, not a bone of him should be broken. And he was dead already because he gave up the ghost. Now, why did they break their legs? That it would bring the process of death quickly. Because the sky was getting dark. And then those bodies had to be taken down before sundown, because if it didn't, that meant the earth would be cursed. And God said, if you don't get them down when you put a man on a tree, you're going to be cursed. Your ground's going to be cursed. And they didn't want their ground to be cursed. So in a hurry, they broke the legs. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. Now, God had ordained that Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus would come. Joseph would have the spices. Now, beloved, the spices were not the embalming fluid, but the spices were to keep the body, for he wasn't going to decay. My flesh shall not see corruption. What did God do? He ordained it that they put the spices on the body of Christ that his body would not decay. My flesh shall not see corruption. Isn't the word of God wonderful? That's why in a hurry that they took his body down from the cross, they put the spices in it to keep it smelling beautiful. When the Lord Jesus Christ came out from the dead, he didn't come out stinking. Beloved, he had all of that perfume around him. My body will not see corruption. Beloved, his soul was given for an offering that would see for the sins of men and women. He gave himself a sacrifice. He even goes into the heavens in the power of his own blood, not the power of the blood of an animal. What a sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ gave. But now let's think of what we have here. It was the dark hour. This is your hour, and the power of darkness was coming over the world. The darkest hour the world has ever seen until the great white throne judgment. Then is when the judgment of God will come in darkness to the world, where they will be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to you, I'm taking your weeping, I'm taking your gnashing of teeth, I'm taking your darkness. But beloved, the world hasn't had the darkness lifted, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You see, he gives light. But the world has rejected the light. Now notice back in our chapter what this brings out here. After they had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and he's here before Pilate, he says, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, beloved, why did he bring out truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. He did not say, I teach the truth, or I preach the truth. He says, I am the truth. Now, let me say something here. I hear a lot of people say today, and I've heard it all my life, and of course, many times in the assemblies, we have boasted that we have the truth. And sometimes I want to ask a person that says, well, you know, brother, we have the truth. I say to myself, I hope you have the truth. But if I asked everybody here tonight, and I started over here with our sister and went all the way through and asked each one of you, what is the truth? What would your answer be? Would you say, well, truth is doctrine. Truth is knowing the Word of God and fulfilling it. Beloved, truth is a person. A truth is not doctrine. Truth is not the Word of God, though it is truth. But truth is a person. And you never find truth until you find the person. For you see, this whole world is geared in unbelief. This world is not geared in truth. The world is geared in unbelief. He says about Satan, ye, and he said to the people, he said, ye are of your father the devil. The beginning of lies. You see, this whole world in which we live in is in a lie. And beloved, that's why so many times when we see Satan in this world that we have, it's nothing geared but on lies. The world tells us in humanism, you are as good as you make yourself. That's humanism. Boiling it right down to just a little bit of an answer. Of course, it goes into a lot of deep things. But you know, they say, you know, you can do anything you want. You can't do everything you want. A person that says anybody can make anything out of himself that he wants to make is a fool that says that. There's limitations in every one of us. I would love to play the piano. Now, my daughter, she can. And I praise God for it. But I've taken lessons. But I can't play the piano. I have a heart's desire to play. Oh, people say, if you'd only practice. Yes, I know. But I found out when I tried to get these fingers to do what my mind would say, my coordination wasn't just there. Now, let's face it. Science, the same thing with sometimes, you know, us brethren, we say everybody should preach. Beloved, I don't believe that one bit. Why don't we let every sister play the piano? Because some of them can't play. We wouldn't sing very well. You see? And it's the same thing. God gives gifts to individuals. Now, we say, what is truth? Pilate brings this out. But before we get in what is truth, beloved, and I hope I can get this over to you, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, God says something in Isaiah 53. Turn to Isaiah 53, and we all know this portion. But I want you to see this tonight, Isaiah 53, and I want you to see something that thrills my soul as we think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to death, and yet it's all according to God's word and God's way. And in the 10th verse it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Beloved, how could it please God to bruise his beloved son that came into the world to be King of kings and Lord of lords? How could it please him? Because every Old Testament sacrifice that was given on Jewish altars, even the Passover that these Jews didn't want to defile themselves by going into the judgment hall that we're going to remember the day that Jesus Christ is going to be crucified, how they could do it, I can't understand it. But they did it. Beloved, even that, God says, I'm not pleased in all your blood sacrifices. Why wasn't he pleased? Because, beloved, every time they gave an animal sacrifice, there was always a remembrance of sin. Always a remembrance of sin. But when God gave Jesus Christ, he said there's not going to be a remembrance of sin anymore. No more sin. When we come to remember the Lord, we don't think of our sin. We think of our Redeemer. when they gave the animal sacrifice, when they put their hand on the head of the animal, when they shed the blood, they said, that animal has to die because I sinned. God says, I'm not pleased with that. I don't want you to be reminded of your sin. I want you to be reminded of your sacrifice. Aren't we reminded of our sacrifice instead of our sin? Isn't that great? Isn't it a wonderful thing? He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Beloved, wasn't he put to grief for you? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. His soul an offering for sin. You notice that? He shall see his seed. That's speaking of the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ would see his seed. He would come forth from the dead. And when he would come forth from the dead, what would he do? He would bring many lives to glory. That's the power of the resurrection. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall many, my righteous servant, justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Isn't it a wonderful thing? You don't have to bear your iniquities because he was going to bear them. But now, beloved, he comes to the place of the Lord Jesus Christ saying to Pilate, to this end was I born. I was born into the world to be king of the Jews. I was born to be king of the Jews. That's why I was born, Pilate. He couldn't tell why he was born. Art thou a king, then, he says. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Why did he come into the world? To be the king of Israel. But, beloved, he was rejected as king. Now, what does God do to the nation of Israel and to the world? And I hope I can get into this before the end of the lesson. He comes to be king, and they reject him. He was the truth, he was the light, but they reject him. Because this world is geared in unbelief. Now remember that. The world is geared in unbelief. So they reject him. So God takes the Lord Jesus Christ and lets him go by the determined counsel to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of the world, to be raised by the resurrection of God, to be seed that even the seed, to see his seed brought forth, that it's going to bring forth life. The grain falls into the ground and dies, and if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ would see the power of his resurrection, that he'd bring much fruit forth. Now, the world still hasn't received him. He asked Stephen to preach on the day of Pentecost, but they don't accept the preaching of Stephen on the day of Pentecost or repent of their sin. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucify him afresh by stoning Stephen. Now, beloved, what does God do at the end? And what's next on the scene? The next thing that's on the scene of the world is the man of sin to be revealed. And beloved, he gives him another chance. Not to receive the real Christ, but he gives a fake Christ, a liar. Why does the world go along believing lies? It's because their father is the father of lies. Beloved, that's why many times at Christmas time I get very fanatical about Santa Claus. And I know people get upset at me, especially when children are in the audience and I blast Santa Claus. But that's the lie of Satan. And if we believe in the truth, we don't believe in Santa Claus. I know I might get letters on this, especially if some children get their mind open up that it's not Santa Claus. Why does Satan bring forth Santa Claus? It's the lie of hell itself to deceive boys and girls. Instead of coming to the truth. Why isn't it simpler to tell them the truth that Jesus Christ was born? And the reason we give gift one to another is because the wise men came and presented him gifts of frankincense and myrrh. And that's why we give gift one to another. But instead we tell the children a lie. Santa Claus comes down the chimney. How that little tongue ever gets down there, I'll never know. But they get him down into the chimney and some poor kid crawls down and tries to be Santa Claus. He gets stuck. And the firemen have to come and rescue him. Now, if the mothers and dads wouldn't have been so stupid to tell a child a lie, they said, well, you're taking all the pleasure of Christmas away from our children. You never take pleasure away from a child if you tell them the truth. Never do. Never do. Beloved, I've had a lot of Christians, and I know they get upset with me, but if they could only see what truth is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is a little baby, Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. Of Judea. I want to show you a scripture that really, I'll have to admit, I had overlooked many times. Turn to Acts 4. Many times I've overlooked it. I would never preach on it for a Christmas message. But this is after the disciples were born. I mean, were born again, of course. They've been born again for some time. But they had healed a man. You know, they said, we have silver, gold have we none, in the third chapter. And this man was healed, and all of Jerusalem is upset for this man being healed. And in the 12th verse of the fourth chapter, it's that wonderful verse, when Peter brings forth, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now he brings this out to the Jews. Now they're upset. Now after they had told them in the 19th verse, the 18th verse, and they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. They said to these, Peter and James and John, they said, now don't mention his name anymore. Don't you teach. But beloved, did you notice up in the 13th verse it says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Beloved, when the world sees you've been with Jesus, they take notice. They notice that they weren't smart men, they weren't educated men, they were just fishermen, but they had been with Jesus. Now all of Israel is upset. The Sanhedrin, all these educated men are upset. What are we going to do? All the doctors and the lawyers of the day, what are we going to do with these guys? They've done a marvelous thing. This man can walk and he's standing with them. What can we say? What can we say? They said, well, let's just tell them. Let's tell them not to teach in his name anymore. Don't mention the name of Jesus anymore. You're turning this world upside down. Beloved, but you notice what it brings out in the 23rd verse. And being let go, they were let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. Now, for time's sake, I'd like to read all this, but for time's sake, let's drop down to the 27th verse. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus. I never noticed that so much in such a forcible way until I studied this lesson. The holy child Jesus. It sounds like the disciples, instead of thinking of the man Jesus Christ, they go back right to his birth. This holy child, Jesus. Now notice, for of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, who were they crucified? God's holy child, oh beloved. Jesus. Why do they bring out the name Jesus here? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Beloved, notice what it says. For of a truth against the holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Now, beloved, what this is really saying is you anointed, you put Pontius Pilate there, you put Herod there, you put all the Gentiles against this holy Jesus. You're the one that has done it, God. Do you see, all this was God's plan. This was God's plan. Beloved, salvation wasn't just made up by an accident. Salvation was a step-by-step plan. 1 Timothy, that thou keep his commandment without spot. Maybe we should read the verse before. I gave thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time. Now, beloved, notice that. Which in his time. Not our time. Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of Lord, which in his time. Beloved, it was determined by God how Jesus Christ would suffer. It was determined by God how the Lord Jesus Christ would die on the cross. It was all planned by God. And it says, in his time, not Pilate's time, not Herod's time, not the Jews' time, but the appointed time, when they were sacrificing the lamb, the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ was dying for the sins of the world at the appointed time. It was his time. Now notice, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now what does potentate mean? It really means
supreme ruler. A lot of rulers have thought they were the potentate. They thought they were the supreme ruler. Beloved, not only is he the supreme ruler, but he's a potentate who has the supreme power. No potentate of the earth has had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could speak a word and they all fell backward. He proved he was God. How they dared to take him any further, I don't know. But they were foolish men. He was the potentate. He could speak a word and they were all put down. The power of the resurrection, the power of his coming for his church, the power when he take over the world with the sword going forth out of his mouth, destroying his enemies. The power. What is he? Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Beloved, he's not showing tonight that he's a potentate. He isn't showing the world tonight he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For the world is following a false god. The world is following Santa Claus. They're believing the lie of Satan. They're believing the lie which Satan has brought forth. For he is the liar from the very beginning, and his world is geared in unbelief. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're of the truth. And that's why Pilate said back in that world, let's just turn back to John, but keep your finger there for a moment. I want to get something in here quickly. I hope you don't mind going over a couple minutes tonight, because I'm going to do it. But notice here what it says here about Pilate. Pilate says in the 38th verse, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? What is truth? Beloved, people tried to find the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Notice the 15th verse again. Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Beloved, it's he who brings forth immortality. He's the one that can give life to the dead soul. No one else. He is the only one. And Pilate says, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. And those that follow me, those that accept me, for notice what he said, and when he had this said, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him. But before that, the Lord Jesus Christ said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Beloved, if you're of the truth, you hear his voice. You hear the shepherd's voice. We heard about that at the Lord's Supper this morning. The shepherd speaking. My sheep hear my voice. John 10. And I give unto them eternal life. If we have the truth, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a doctrine, it's a person. Any person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has the truth. And they look at the rest of the world as just a lie. And that's why even in Timothy, and we don't have time to go into it, it charges the rich in the 17th verse. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Beloved, it warns the rich not to be interested in these things. And then it tells to communicate, to give it away. And the reason is because we've seen the truth. We're not going to build things down here because we know the truth. This is going to disappear. But some are being captured by the world's lie, make a great thing down here. Make great buildings, get bigger things, get bigger churches, get bigger sanctuaries to meet in. Get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's going to be better. But beloved, that's the lie of Satan. My time is already gone, but it's one other thing I want to get in. And I want you to turn to Thessalonians. What was it that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to them? Oh, beloved, he gave them a chance. God gave them a chance to accept the truth. But notice in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and with this I promise I'll let you go. But remember, I have 4 hours ahead of me to drive, and you just have a few minutes, so you're not going to get home as late as I will. I'll get home about midnight hour. Don't feel sorry for me. I'll enjoy thinking of what I should have said and what I didn't say. But anyway, notice what it says in the 7th verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now notice this. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's going to destroy Satan with the brightness of his coming. We read a scripture that no man could stand in his presence. Notice this next part. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. What? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Love of what truth? Pilate said, what's truth? Jesus Christ is truth. Because they received not the love of Jesus Christ, of the truth. Do you get it? It's of Jesus Christ they haven't received. Some people think it's the truth of knowing all the scriptures. That's not, beloved, it's the person that they've rejected. It's the person of Christ that they've rejected. Notice what it says. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. How are they saved? They're saved by the truth. And alive by Jesus Christ. Notice the next part. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they who believe a lie. I wanted to get into Revelation 13, but I haven't got time. I'm 10 minutes over already. Beloved, Revelation 13 brings out the Antichrist. And what does it say about him? It says, after they set up the image, he speaks great swelling words with blasphemy against God and against the holy temple. He has blasphemy the name of the holy God. But the world receives him. They reject the truth, but they receive the imposter. God says, I'm going to send them strong delusion. They wouldn't receive my son. So I'll send them strong delusions that when this Antichrist comes, they'll fall down and worship. And it says the whole world worships him. Aren't you glad your eyes are open? Aren't you glad you're saved? Oh, beloved, if there's anybody not saved, get your eyes open and see he's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if somebody receives Christ even through this message? Has been given here throughout the country. Let's pray that the Lord will speak to people, that they will be moved by the Spirit of God. Shall we just bow in prayer? Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, Father, that though we not boasting in knowing the truth, or though we boast in Christ, but we're not boasting that there's something great in us, that we're smarter than the rest of the world. No. We're just thankful that the truth opened up our eyes, that the Lord Jesus Christ did it all for us, that he showed us we were a lost sinner. The Holy Spirit of God convicted us, showed us we were lost, and then pointed us to the truth, and we received it. And now we have the truth. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason the world isn't saved is because they've rejected the truth. They've rejected Jesus Christ. And Father, the reason we're saved is because we've received you. May we just go on this 1985 rejoicing in our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these people for being patient with me. And may this message linger in their hearts and bring them close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even through this year, we ask in thy Son's precious and worthy name. Amen.